Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
What's up? It's Thursday. It's time for the big interview. You are listening to Fat Mascara. I am Jess.
I'm Jen. Check your phone. It might not be Thursday for you. I understand you might not download the day of. So whenever you're listening to this, just know that. I was thinking about that the other day. How you doing, Jess?
I'm good. I'm really excited. We've got a great interview. We have a lovely guest today.
And I feel like we took a little bit of a travel or a vacation with this guest. And that was kind of what we wanted to go for because nobody's traveling anywhere. We have Brazilian influencer and beauty blogger, Camila Coelho. Okay, so she got her start by posting videos to YouTube while she was a makeup artist at a department store. We talked to her about this, so stay tuned for that. She gained a following. I just checked. She has 8.8 million followers on Instagram, NBD. And she went on to build her blog in both Portuguese and English. And she's done collaborations with brands like Lancôme and Revolve. Well, this summer, you actually may remember, guys, I raised a wand to one of her products. She launched a line, Et La Luce. It has its own site. It's also on Net-a-Porter. And there's beautiful products. It's a luxe line. We'll talk about that in the interview. And she also, I don't know if she was supposed to do this, but stay tuned and listen. She gave a little sneak peek of what's coming with Et La Luce. All right, you guys ready? Let's do the interview. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, so we're going to get right into it because I read something and I have to ask you about this. I read that you wore lipstick for your passport photo when you were 6 years old. Is that true?
I love this. Yes, it is true. And I'm actually very proud of it because that moment was so important and special to me. I've always been a beauty lover since I was a little girl. And I remember playing like with my grandmother's stuff and I remember playing with my grandmother's makeup and overly brushing my hair every time I, you know, got off the house. Like before leaving the house, I wanted to make sure I had like a long bob cut. And I wanted to make sure my hair was like perfectly, you know, combed. And I was just that girl. And the day my mom said we were going to take a passport photo, I thought, my gosh, I need like the best lipstick. And I automatically thought of a red lipstick color. And I went to my grandmother and I was like, can you please let me borrow your red lipstick? And she ended up giving it to me. And I applied it at the exact moment to, like, that I was about to jump in the photo because I knew my mom wasn't going to let me, you know, have the photo done this. With the red lipstick on. So it's like, I'll send you guys the photo, but it's like this bold red lip and my hair was like blondie-ish because I grew up in Brazil in the sun. But I was so happy, but I looked terrified because I knew my mom was mad and she was going to like, no, be upset because she didn't want me to have this bold lipstick on. But it was such an important moment for me because I, like in my mind, I thought, you know, like I needed to have that bold color on to, you know, look beautiful and strong. And thanks to my grandmother, it happened.
Grandmothers are the best. It's like, they're always just like when your mom wouldn't let you, grandmom will.
Yeah.
And was she sort of like your beauty? Like, did she help inspire you get into beauty? Was she a glamorous lady?
Yeah, she was, you know, she wasn't like super glam, but she always had her hair done and she always had some type of makeup on. Lipstick was her thing also. And a little bit of blush, but she was always done up. Even when she was in the kitchen cooking for us, she had like a beautiful outfit on. And I would look at her. And then but my grandmother's energy in general was so special. And I don't remember my grandmother ever being like mad or like screaming. Or she was just the kindest. And my mom says the same. Like, and that energy, like that is who I wanted to be. And that was what inspired me the most about my grandmother. And, you know, the makeup came along with it and being a beauty lover. But, you know, I just remember looking up to her and, you know, thinking I want to be like this woman. She was my icon in general, not just my beauty icon. But
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So beauty has been, it seems like beauty was always a part of your life. One of the first jobs you had was selling beauty in a retail shop, right?
Yes, it was. I grew up loving beauty. And after high school, I decided to, the story is kind of, I was always a geek in high school and I had great grades. I was an honor roll student and I loved school in general. And when it came time to apply for college, I did not know what I wanted to do. I knew I was a creative and I knew I was like more in an artistic, like I love to dance, I love to paint and I loved, you know, makeup, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. And at this time, we were already living in the United States and seeing my mom work so hard after divorce, I just wanted to be independent early. And when making this decision to go to college, but not knowing exactly what I wanted to do, was a pressure for me because I wanted to make sure I chose the right thing. I didn't want to risk like doing, you know, going to school for something that I didn't truly love. So having this conversation with my mom was super hard. And, you know, she wanted me to go to college right away, but I also knew that she was going to be the one helping me, you know, go to college somehow. And I needed to give myself some time to figure it out. So I gave myself 6 months and I remember this until this day, like this scene of me looking into my mom's eye and saying, "Mom, I promise you that I will make you proud. Like, just please give me, you know, these 6 months." And that's when I got a job at a makeup counter at a department store and it was with Dior. And I was just selling makeup. I was a sales associate. And, you know, the retail hours are hard. And
yeah.
I did not like that part.
Did you like bonding with women? Keep going.
Yeah. The thing I loved about that job was how it kind of proved to me how empowering and transformative beauty is, right? So like many different types of women, different background, arrive with, you know, in different moods. But they will all leave the counter with a smile on their faces. And that would just make my day every single day. And because of that, I decided to become a makeup artist. And then I felt like, okay, I found what I love to do. But then little did I know that that was going to bring me somewhere else, which was social media in 2010. I started my YouTube channel as a hobby, of course, didn't expect anything from it because YouTube then was still a platform for you to just watch music videos on, right? And I started as a hobby because I saw someone doing it and I was like, wow, I can like do these little videos and help my friends out, my family, my sister. Like, they could watch these videos and learn how to do their makeup themselves. So it was complete hobby. And, you know, it brought me to where I am today. It helped me build my career. And I remember throughout those years, also, you know, the first years on YouTube, when my platform was growing, I was still kind of doubting myself. Is this the right thing? Is this going to make my mom proud? I remember always keeping that in my heart. And today she's the proudest mama. And I'm so happy, you know, that I followed my heart back then, because it was truly that. It was me following my heart. And I feel like, you know, I made the right decision at such a young age in a way. So yeah, I've always been a beauty lover, and that's what got me to, you know, where I am today.
When you transitioned, you were a makeup artist, you moved into this world of creating content and being a blogger, and you wanted to make your mom proud, which I think is so beautiful. Clearly, she must be proud at this point.
I think you have your own line. She tells me that every day.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
That's good. But the job that you do, I was thinking about this, you know, you're a world traveler, and a lot of what you do is based on like going around the world, seeing new things, you know, creating these visuals and all of that. How much did that change because of, you know, the pandemic? Like your whole job changed, I imagine.
Yeah. So the biggest part of my job was, you know, traveling with brands and having all these amazing experiences and creating content around the world. But now with the pandemic, like, I feel like I'm still working so much, but in just a different way. I'm creating content now from home, and it's almost like I'm back to where it started in a way. Like, I started home in front of a computer, you know, shooting, and now I'm like shooting my outfits from home and in my backyard, and finding new ways as well to keep connected with people. And in a part of it, it has become much more personal than it was before, because, you know, before it was more about sharing my lifestyle, where I was, and, you know, people love that, but they also love to see personal things like me in the kitchen, teaching them my Brazilian cheese bread recipe. And, you know, I think we're all like kind of reinventing ourselves in a way. And I think a big part of that is knowing what my follower wants to see now that I am actually home and not traveling. So, you know, I've been super open to, you know, do different types of things. And even like something so small, like doing live workouts, people wanted to know what my workouts actually looked like. And, you know, I'm still inspiring them with fashion, with like TikTok videos and changing outfits quickly. So it's all different types of content that I was able to actually like challenge myself with. And it's been fun, you know, it's actually good to change it up and try out new things as well. So,
do you talk to other people in your community about like how they're changing their work as well? Like, do you guys all know each other? I always wonder about this.
No, yeah, I have influencers that I'm really close with, and you know, we talk often as like, you know, there are people who I just became really close with as like, you know, and I consider friends, and there are colleagues, people that I chat with a lot of times. So yeah, we have these conversations, but it's mostly, I feel like for most of us, it's been that, like showing more personal life and asking our followers, you know, what is it that they want to see, that they would like to see now that we're home?
Do you think the whole landscape will change of like the whole influencer world? Like when it first started, at least here in the States, there were a couple influencers that were just still traveling and doing these things, and they got called out for it. Do you see a permanent change to this kind of, this is part of the beauty industry, to be honest. Like, this is a way that, you know, women are inspired by beauty now. They look to women like you, but do you see that permanently changing because of the, you know, the restrictions?
You know, I don't think, of course, everything we do and, you know, having like so many followers, the bigger your platform is, I believe the bigger your responsibility is to inspire people in a positive way, right? And to be mindful of the things you're doing as well. So like, you know, I don't want to travel. I don't think it's right to travel right now. And I think But I also don't think that because I'm not traveling, like I can't still inspire them to, you know, to do so many things, put makeup on or put an outfit on if it's the most comfortable outfit, or to teach them something. My main thing since I started was my goal was to always think like, okay, what am I teaching them with this video, mm-hmm. with this content? Can people get inspired? How can people get inspired by this type of content?
We call that service in the magazine world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's so important because just, you know, to put up a content, just to put it up. Yes, I do it sometimes because I feel like, you know, something is funny or, but I mainly think about that. Like, will people learn something? So even now during the pandemic, my following, like I've asked this question many times in the beginning. Do you guys still want to see like tutorials? Because nobody's really putting on makeup right now. Nobody's really leaving the house. And, you know, a lot of people, the response was surprising because they said, you know, since we're home now, we want to keep practicing, you know, makeup techniques.
That's interesting.
And we still want to learn like things you want to teach us. So I think that for me, like, that is my way of thinking it. It shouldn't change because I'm not traveling anymore. And I feel like the traveling is another inspirational part of our jobs. But if you're putting meaningful content out there, like I can just be home and I'm very happy at home, actually. but still, you know, bring good content to them. I don't know if I answered your question, but...
Well, you made me think of another question because, you know, you definitely, you know, you bring your culture, you bring your perspective to your videos. And I don't know if it's a cliche, but the beauty industry, at least, you know, how I've come up in it, I've been told that, you know, Brazil is super, super beauty obsessed and that Brazilians are very attuned and kind of at the forefront of beauty trends. Do you feel that's true?
I feel like Brazilians and Latinx, we'll say now, right? Latinas in general, we are very into beauty. Like it's in our culture. We love like feeling good about ourselves and we, you know, love to be dressed up. Like it's in our blood. But I hate to like generalize things in a way like, oh, Brazilians like more to put more makeup on than, you know, Americans, for example. I hate to do that because I feel there is people everywhere that like super things. But definitely Brazilians, it's in our blood. We love to, you know, and it's not even like growing up in Brazil. Still today, you will see a lot of people without makeup on and maybe just a lipstick, but they like to be put together. Like when you go to the mall in Brazil, like people walk in the mall like as if they were going to a party. They want to dress up for every occasion, like when they leave the house. So it is in our blood. And I agree. We're very into beauty. Brazil is one of the countries that consumes beauty the most in the world. And I think it's definitely part of our culture. But I know many Brazilians that also don't, you know, like to put makeup on.
So does that ever become intimidating, you know, and maybe not even just like for yourself, but, you know, just for just a lot of pressure? I mean, I would think the idea of going to
I want to roll to the mall and like sweat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're very, and again, now I'm speaking in generalization, so this is not everyone, but people talk a lot about how Americans will, you know, go to the grocery store in a pair of like Snoopy sweatpants and go to the airport in like, you know, basically
that, you know, their that pajamas. Is one thing I love about America. I have
you to love say. That.
Like, yeah, I love
Oh, wow.
That because, okay. You know, there are days, and this is like real life, like there are days you don't feel like dressing up and it feels amazing. One thing I love about New York, for example, it's like, you walk down the street, you can look like a clown and nobody will like stare at you or like make you feel uncomfortable.
That's why we love
it. That is such, and that is such like freedom, right? To know that this is who I am and I'm free to look or be like however. And you know, in Brazil, sometimes I do feel like, you know, if I'm there working and if, you know, depending where I'm going, I'm always like, okay, I need to look, you know, good and sharp and more dressed up because It is in our culture. And it's
really?
Not like it's a horrible thing. And, it, you know, but that is one thing I love about America, that, you know, the days I don't want to dress up, I can just walk out in my pajamas. Nobody cares.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now, can I ask you, can we step it up a bit? Let's go from like the makeup and the hair and the sweatpants. Let's talk about procedures. Plastic surgery. Yeah. Sometimes when we talk to dermatologists and plastic surgeons and they really want to get our attention, they'll throw out Brazil. They'll say like, oh, this
the B word.
Yeah, they exactly. If we're looking a little snoozy, they'll be like, this is so hot in Brazil, or everyone in Brazil is doing this. I mean, is that really something like, you know, do you feel that Brazilians are more accepting of certain plastic surgery or, you know, dermatological procedures? What's your take on this topic?
So, you know, Brazil is always brought up because, you know, we were known to have the best surgeons and the best. It's like Colombia too, right? Like we're known to have like the best plastic surgeons out there. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you exactly, like if my take on it, like I've done a nose job in the past. That was the only surgery I've done in my life, but it took me, and I have friends who
I did notice you have a really good nose. That's really weird that you brought it up, because I was like, I really like your, I was like, first of all, you're beautiful, but your nose is very beautiful.
Thank you. But you know, it took me like years and years to be able to like have the courage to do it. And I went to like 100 doctors to make sure I was with the right one. So I think that, yes, that I know a lot of people that, you know, have done things like Brazilians, but we think about it. Like I've thought about it for so long. It's not because we have the best doctors. And, you know, I ended up doing it here in California.
Oh, wow.
So it's, you know, my personal way of thinking about it, yes, Brazil has amazing surgeons. And I think that makes people feel comfortable. But, you know, a lot of the customers too, like from these Brazilian surgeons, are people that come from all around the world. Mm. So, but yeah, answering your questions, a lot of people that I talk to that have done surgery, they're not ashamed or scared to say they have done it.
So the stigma, I don't think there's this, it's funny. Like if you ask me, like, is there a stigma in the US? I think it's where you are in the US. Like if you're in LA or New York, like there's not as, well, maybe that's old fashioned. I shouldn't say, oh, LA or New York, there's no stigma. But like, I think it depends on like maybe the group, like the people you surround yourself with. I think some places there is a stigma, but I guess, you know, I didn't really give you a pointed question. I'm just sort of interested in the topic because...
No, but Brazil, I get it. In Brazil too, like if you go to smaller towns, like even where I come from, like people, you say, oh yeah, that person is pretty, but they got surgery. So there is a stigma too in Brazil, you know?
It's not like everyone's just going around and like, you know, getting...
definitely not.
Implants and all that. Okay.
No, definitely not.
Can I ask, is it more affordable in Brazil?
I don't know.
I'm talking to you like, like basically like treating her like a plastic surgery.
Because like the GDP of like, Brazil versus US. And
I don't know. I really don't know.
Can you tell I'm interested in this topic? I'm coming over.
I don't know if it's affordable there. Like in dollars, it's affordable, but I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know how to answer that
question. No.
Like, no, it's fine. What about, okay, so let's talk about like everyday beauty essentials when you're with a Brazilian woman, just you, Camilla, but I'm, you know, it's nice to talk to someone from a different culture because we're not traveling right now, frankly. Yeah. I was like, ooh, Camilla will bring me the like,
no, I'm loving
glamour
this.
Brazil.
I know, I'm loving this conversation, by the way.
No, but you know, one thing, going back to the plastic surgery thing, I feel like Brazilians, we, you know, especially because it's a tropical country, we're always in our bikinis. We're always, you know, like people work out so much in Brazil. Like they want to look good. Like if you go to Rio, you see like people in general, not just women, but men too. They're fit and they're, you know, they're tanned and they're beautiful because it's a tropical country and it kind of inspires you to, you know, like it's like when summer's coming, you want to go work out. You want to get that summer body.
But Brazil's like summer year round.
So, you know, but I feel like a lot of times it's like, for me, for example, my nose, I didn't want to change my face. I didn't want to change the way I looked. I wanted, and that's why it took me so long to do my nose because I just wanted to slightly like take out what bothered me and just make my nose a little bit like more gentle. But if you look at the aesthetic of my nose, it's the same shape pretty much. You know what I'm saying?
How old were you when you got it done?
I got it done 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 2018. Yeah, 2 years ago, very recent.
So you did research for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. And that bothered me since I was like 15 years old, you know? So, yeah, it's not like, you know, every person, like you go and you don't think about it. You just go and get things done. Like, I think it's an actual way of people, because doctors in Brazil are so recommended, it's a misconception about Brazil that like every Brazilian, most Brazilians get surgery.
Like, it's kind of what we're like in America. That's why we wanted to talk to someone who knows, because it is sort of like it's almost like a selling point for a lot of beauty in America, like tanning brands or straightening hair treatments or butt lifts. They put the Brazil word on it and all of a sudden it gets imbued with this stereotype that, frankly, what I hear you saying is like, no, we're not all the same. We're not just like a bunch of Giselles walking around down there getting plastic surgery. Don't you feel that, Jess? Like in America, we get sold that that line.
As soon as I picture Brazil, I picture Giselle in like a string bikini, long hair, like amazing boobs. And I'm like, I'm in.
Or like big curly afro that's like gorgeous and looks gorgeous. And the frizz is like the sexiest frizz you've ever seen.
But you know what? That's interesting you guys are saying this, because one thing I have to point out when talking about my country is what I admire about Brazilians so much is the confidence. Although, you know, once you look good, you will see women in every body shape in like the smallest bikinis and like feeling confident. And that is so inspiring to see in Brazil. Like, people, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Brazil.
I have not.
Can you tell we haven't?
I have not, but I have in my mind.
There is this, you know, like we love taking care of ourselves, but there's also so much confidence in there. Like, and you see it in people. I don't know.
You don't need the Dove self-esteem project down in Brazil then.
No, and I, you know, I find it very interesting. Like you don't need to, you know, not everyone needs to get plastic surgery to feel confident or even to change anything about themselves. So I think it is a misconception about Brazil because we have so many doctors and because so many people go down there to get surgery. But like thinking of my group of many friends, there's like only a few that I know have done things.
Okay, let's talk beauty essentials. So like for you, just living your life every day, whether pandemic or not, like what must you have? Like what categories of beauty are like your must-haves?
Categories are definitely skincare number one. I truly believe that like even being a makeup lover, especially being a makeup lover, I would say, I've learned that, you know, taking care of your skin is so important for your makeup to look good. And, you know, to we're all going to get old one day. We're all going to get wrinkles. But
if we're
taking care of your skin at an early age, you will delay that, you know, a little bit. And everything you put in your face, it's going to look better if you take care of your skin. So skincare for me is like my number one category. So, you know, I need to have like my go-to serum every day on and like a good eye cream and something amazing to wash my face and natural without scent.
What's your go-to serum? You said it like it's like, this is my serum.
So I've tried and I've used many brands in the past. I have to say I love SkinCeuticals because they're so, you know, like, it's very dermatology, which, you know, I love. And it is something, a category, it's a product I'm launching at Ella Luz next month. Oh my gosh, I'm giving you the biggest spoiler. You're going to kill me. But
alert.
But I've been, you know, like for me, it was very important to create a line. I mean, when creating Ella Luz, I wanted it to be an essential line and I wanted to hit different categories because... and I wanted to be clean because I knew I was going to do skincare, especially. So, yes, there's an Ella Luz serum coming and you guys are going to be obsessed with it. It's so good for your skin. But my essentials are definitely, you know, but I love SkinCeuticals, like I was saying. It's such a good brand, you know, that it really, I feel like I, that's what I say. I use the term like medicine for your skin and not just a cosmetic, right? Especially when thinking about skincare, that is so important to know what you're putting on your face, like the ingredients you're putting on your face every night. You want a long lasting effect, not just an overnight effect. So skincare is number one for me. And when it comes to makeup, a good lip balm, which we launched with our 24 karat, yes, lip therapy. I love
it. It's lovely. But okay, but can we talk about this lip and cheek stain though?
Yes.
Do you know, your team sent me this 2 weeks ago. I went on like this road trip to Maine where I was like, no glamour. I kid you not, I wore this every single day. There's something about the, is Yay. It only one color?
Yeah.
This color is like the weirdest perfect color because it like is cool but warm.
Oh my gosh, I was kind of scared. You're like the weirdest. I was like, oh no.
No, because at first I looked at it and I was like, oh, it's a cool red. And then you put it on and I was like, is this pH changing? Because it sort of just like goes with your skin. Anyway, I've been obsessed with it. Were you into, was
Thank
this
you
like-
so much.
Was this a lot of work that's making like, this?
Yeah, it was a lot of work because we wanted to, well, first of all, being clean, being mindful, there's so many limits. And to create a lip tint that was long lasting, but also, you know, had a hydrating formula, which for me, it was something that I didn't find with other lip tints. They do tend to dry your lips. And I wanted this formula to be jelly-ish and to be hydrating, but to last all day and to be the perfect shade of red. When I say the perfect shade of red, I went deeper, and that's probably what you know. It's like a deeper shade of red, but that doesn't translate to being pink on your lips. It's like a true red and that like just bitten, you know, look.
Yeah, I have it on. I don't know what I look like right now, but
You look great.
It's a great
color. It's buildable coverage. So you can do it once and have just like that bitten look, but you can, you know, apply it twice and have like more of a red. I have it under my balm right now, but... You know, finding the perfect color and putting all the Brazilian ingredients in here was so special, but it took us a while to, you know, for this product to come to life. But I'm so excited. And lip has been such a strong category to me. And these are two essential products that, you know, I think every woman will want to have in their bag.
I was going to ask you about plans for the future, but you kind of told us. You gave us a little secret, the serum. So
can I ask, what are some of other favorite beauty products besides those from your own line? What are some other essentials?
So I love the hair masks by Kérastase. I'm a hair mask girl, and I love, you know, hydrating my hair. My hair grows so fast because I'm always hydrating it. And I remember when I moved to the United States.
It's not genetics at all.
No, but yeah, that too. But you know what? When I moved to the United States, my hair stopped growing. Like, it would get to a length and it would just start falling and not grow like healthy. And I think it was because of the water.
Yeah, people
like
say
when
that.
You change the water, my hair just, and I started doing hair masks. My mom was like, you know, your grandmother always did hair masks and you should do hair masks. And I started doing hair masks every week. And I would go in the sauna with the hair mask and massage my hair once a week. My hair started growing and it just became a very healthy hair. So since then, I have this used to, you know, do a hair mask at least once a week. But it truly helps, especially, you know, like doing my hair all the time, curling irons and all these tools we use. Hair masks is something I love. And there's so many products I love and so many brands. You know, Neostrata, you guys are going to love this brand if you've never heard of it. It's very dermatology-ish as well, but it's incredible. Like their face mask, their oil, they have this, I call it an acid. It's called, I'll give you guys the name, but it's a gel that you put on your face once or twice a week and it controls the oiliness of your skin. It closes your pores. It kind of renews your skin in a way, you know, the texture of your skin. So it's amazing. And that has definitely helped me, especially traveling so much, you know, how I used to before, being on planes in different weather all the time. That product is incredible. So there's many brands I like, but I'm a skincare addict for sure.
Listen, if you're name dropping SkinCeuticals and Neostrata, clearly you know your stuff. These are that's not kids' stuff, you know. Jess, shall we do the fat mascara with Camilla?
Okay,
we do this to everyone at the end of our interview. Are you ready for our lightning round?
It's just a lightning round of quick hit questions. I want to know. It's very very fast and easy.
Okay,
Camilla. What was the first?
I'm nervous.
I know. I'm making it sound like it's going to hurt like a shot. I want to go back really quick to the hair because you do have really beautiful hair. And like when you said that you go into the sauna, like I'm really thinking about hair lately. Sorry, my hair is like breaking a lot around the crown. I'm like looking at my own hair, then looking at like side by side view of your hair and getting really upset. Do you put the hair mask on your dry hair or do you put the hair mask on your damp hair? Like, how do you use the hair mask? And then we'll do the fat mascara 5.
Okay. So what you should do, and this is like truly, if you can go to any sauna somewhere, this is going to save your hair.
There's no sauna in my apartment right now. So this is like what
your apartment is a sauna.
So what you're going to do, it's going to act like kind of like a sauna. You're going to wash your hair with shampoo.
Okay.
And then you won't do conditioner. You just do the mask. And the mask should go like from halfway down, right?
Okay.
Not like, don't put it on your roots.
Okay.
Because it's heavy. So you do that. You massage your hair with your hands for like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you roll it up, put a shower cap on.
Okay.
And continue your shower or get into your bath, you know, like read something. Leave it there for like 10 minutes. And because your hair is hot from the water, if you put it on a cap, it's kind of going to act like, you know,
it's like a mini sauna. It's like a portable sauna for my head.
Do that. Like do that at least once a week and you see a huge change in your hair. I can assure you.
All right, hopefully. I'm going to try it, Camilla. Okay, now I can carry on with the Fat Mascara 5 because I've been thinking about this since you mentioned it. And I just keep on looking at your hair. I'm like, damn. Okay. All right. So, Camilla, what was the first beauty product you ever fell in love with?
the red lipstick that my grandma
picked. We should have known. Okay. For sure. Who is the celebrity you just know you'd be best friends with?
Oh my God. Rihanna, I think we'll be like the best for each other. We will be party girls. We would, and I think she would feel the same. I'm sure. Right? I mean,
that's the Brazilian confidence. She would love me.
All night long. I'm obsessed with Rihanna, and I think of her, and I just think of like us partying together in the world. Like, I love dancing, and I love her music. I love her personality. I just, yeah, Rihanna.
Easy.
Why not?
What's your most favorite indulgent snack? And be specific.
Indulgence, like something I
like fatty, like yum, ooh. Yum, yum.
Oh God. I have this, it's like the best when I'm watching Netflix or whatever, like when I'm watching a series with my husband, it's the best feeling to just go to the fridge and get the, it's a vanilla, ice cream popsicle that has
like a Häagen-Dazs?
Yeah. Oh, like yeah. A swirl, like a little dip.
It's exactly that brand, the one I love, with the chocolate and nuts on the outside to die for. That's like my, you know, when I'm like, okay, I really don't care. I just want to be happy. That's my go-to snack at night. or my everyday, my Brazilian cheese bread. I make the dough fresh at home.
Oh my God.
You guys should try the recipe. I have it on YouTube. It's super easy.
I saw that.
You can buy the starch on Amazon because that's the only one ingredient that would be hard to find, but it's on Amazon. And it's delicious. I make it every morning for myself and my husband. You can make the whole dough and do the balls, and it's like 50 pieces, and you freeze it, and every morning you can just throw it in the oven for 20 minutes and you have fresh cheesy bread to eat.
What's it called in Portuguese? What's the name of that
pão
bread
de
in queijo.
Portuguese? Pão de queijo. Pão de queijo. Yeah.
Jess, I'm going to make you some next time you come visit me.
Sounds good.
I want proof of that.
I'll take pictures for you.
Sounds very light.
Very light.
What's the song that pumps you up?
Any Brazilian song, especially from Anitta. It's Anitta. She has done collabs with like J Balvin, and she's incredible. And I would love for people to look her up. She makes the best of dancing songs. I was actually just recently on a shoot and on a long distance shoot, and the hairstylist put her music on and we're all dancing. I was like, wow, you know Anitta? And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I'm like so proud, you know, but her music was so pumping and it just makes me excited and
I'm gonna have to look her up.
And it brings me back to Brazil too, which is great.
That's cool. I was not aware. And what do you want to raise a wand to? That is our fat mascara language for what are you obsessed with right now? Could be makeup, could be a TV show, could be just like a concept.
Okay. Oh my gosh, you said TV show. I am so obsessed. Don't laugh. Please don't laugh.
I won't.
I'm obsessed with the series Outlander. I don't know if you guys have ever watched it. It's like a fairy tale.
The Scottish
so,
thing?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it is so cool.
Good. Like, I started watching it and I was like, wait, how can people like this? It's like a fairy tale little, you know, like series. But I got so into it and the love story is so beautiful. And it's just, I'm obsessed. But yeah, Outlander.
It feels good for this time. You just like want to escape into that world, right?
Exactly. And like, it also like there's so much history in there. And, you know, I love, you know, love stories. And
it's beautiful.
I'm so into it. Like every day I'm like, I can't wait to just lay on my sofa and watch it. It's crazy.
And eat your ice cream pop, your Häagen-Dazs ice cream pop.
Yeah. Perfect day. Perfect night.
This is great.
Yeah, well,
I feel like we took
a little vacation, like virtually with you. This was so fun.
Please, we should plan. I love hosting people in Brazil.
I promise I won't complain about the heat. I promise.
No, you won't.
Oh my God, we got to get
the best island in Brazil that I've brought so many people there, like from France, from here, United States, and people are obsessed with it. It's called Noronha, Fernando de Noronha. It's always in the top 10 most beautiful places in the world. And you guys are going to love it. Food is amazing. I mean, we're going to have the best time. So let's plan.
Jess, our Fat Mascara fifth anniversary episode.
Oh my God, I would love that. I am bringing my body confidence, baby.
Yes.
I'm bringing a tiny little bikini.
Yes.
We'll wear our Ella Luz. It'll be gorgeous.
Yes.
It'll be gorgeous.
Ella Luz to hydrate our lips.
Yes. Yeah, congrats on your line. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Congrats.
It was amazing. And let me know about Brazil, okay?
Okay, it is time to raise a wand. I have a nice one. I think it's a good seasonal candle. Jen, you raised a candle
Ooh, is that our new segment? Raise a wick.
Raise a wick.
Oh God, I like I'm that. Sorry.
No, I actually, you know what? You can tell I'm getting mom humor because I was like, that's funny.
Maps.
I'm actually really like, my sense of humor is really like evolving.
When I met your two best friends at your bachelorette party, I think it was JY and Jana.
Yeah.
And the whole time they have this like funny joke where I'm sharing with our listeners now.
Clearly, go ahead.
You know the story. Where they just know, they poke fun at themselves for like turning into a quote unquote mom with this mom voice. So like anytime anybody would say something like, I need my rosé or like mommy needs her mommy juice or like corny mom stuff, they would just both go, mams. How did that even get started? I don't know, but I say it all the time now.
I don't know how. It was just like, they were just like raising a glass like, mams. Yeah, it was like, mams.
Like, I'm a cool mom. What jeans are cool now? I like a bootleg, mom.
Well, now I'm a mom. And this mom found a great candle. I really like the sense of humor is like, it's just like rolling downhill. Like it's out of control, but like I've embraced
Listeners, please come along for the ride.
Oh my God.
Like go on this journey with us. It's going to be great.
Oh God, it's ugly.
If you want to hear about my dating life, go back a couple years in the podcast. We're in Momville now.
Oh,
Jess, what are you raising a wand to?
It's grim. It's a lovely candle. It's a lovely scented candle. The brand is called Otherland, and maybe those who closely watch the podcast will know that I did a fireside chat with the brand the other day on their Instagram.
It was like last month, but yes.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's last month. It is so gorgeous, this brand. So the brand, they only make candles. It is so lovingly done. The candle's $36. Now, I'm not trying to up their prices, but $36 is by no means a cheap candle. I am price sensitive, guys. Listen, like my mother would like drop dead before she ever spent $36 on a candle in her life. But I'm telling you, this is the kind of brand where I am surprised it's $36. When you order an Otherland candle, the packaging is so stunning. The details are so stunning. The way, just trust me, like you order it and you'll know what I'm talking about. The way it's wrapped, the way it's presented, the little matchbook that comes with it. Then you open it.
Ooh, matches included?
Oh, matches included, baby. Okay.
I like that.
The labeling is stunning. The little like lettering inside the box, the way there's this font is like custom font, the way it's embossed.
About opening a good candle, you just feel like, I'm with the haves.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with the haves. That's actually really funny. You should trademark that. That's so funny. You feel so special. And then the throw on this guy, so that means like, you know, the how far the scent extends. You don't even have to light it and you can smell it in your house, which is the sign of a quality candle. And then when you do light it, it fills the room. Now, the scent that I love right now for this season is Rattan. It's sandalwood, golden amber, and then some other kind of like warm, like kind of golden, more musk scent. It is nice because it reminds me of like the sunlight setting, like that September
kind of like golden scent.
Yeah.
So it's not too fall. We're not season pushing, but it's not too it's not too beachy, you know, high summer.
It's post cucumber, pre pumpkin spice.
Perfect. Thank you. It's it's great. And I love that it is a small business, but I'm telling you, the way this quality is, it don't look small business. It's really nice.
Oh, I'm going to go return my tomato candle from Tuesday.
No. Damn. No, it's really good.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to raise a wand to a hair tie or rubber band, if you will. So I've always heard from hairstylists that you need the elastic wrapped soft hair ties. Don't use a regular plastic rubber band. I've been doing a lot of braids and like braided updos where I do two pigtail braids and twist them over my head, sort of like Heidi, some other kinds of braids. And I am going to negate that right now. Because when you do a braid in my hair, which is layered, by the time you get to the end of the braid, it's much skinnier than the base. So you have this tiny little skinny thing. And I'm sorry, there's nothing tackier than a big old like soft elastic. I like Scoonsy, I like Goody, but those big hair ties at the bottom of a skinny braid.
Yeah,
or maybe
yeah,
you're
yeah.
trying to do a cornrow, or maybe a little girl's hair, or you know, that you need a small rubber band. It does not break your hair. These are, I think it's Amazon brand. I'm not sure. They're mini rubber bands, soft elastic bands, 1,000 pieces in a pack, black. I'll put a link. I found them on Amazon. They don't look shiny like some of the tiny rubber bands. You know how they look like really glossy? They're
yeah.
matte black. You can reuse them. A lot of the tiny rubber bands use it once and then they don't have the stretch anymore. You could reuse these a couple times. You don't really need to because you get 1,000 for like $5. And I think because my hair, by the time I get to the bottom, it's such a small section of hair and I only have to wrap this around twice, I think they're less damaging than the elastic ones. Like they're not tugging and pulling on the ends of my hair. So I feel like it depends on the type of ponytail that you're doing. I guess
yeah.
if you're doing like a high pony with really thick hair, oh my God, you wouldn't even get these around that. But the ends of braids and or if you have thin hair and or you're doing some sort of style with thin braids, these are like the best thing ever, and they look so much chicer. And also, you can hide them in a little updo if you're twisting it under and doing bobby pins. I know it's a random thing to raise a wand to, but there you go.
No, I like it. I like it. I think the random things are the surprises that we need in raise a wand. So thank you. I love this. I'm going to check
it out. Thank you. Thank you, Jess. And thank you, listeners. We love you. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.